and think about all that had happened. Maybe you would love to go to sleep and not wake up because it was a pretty miserable week. I don't know. If so, you're in the right place because God has help for you. You know, God's people are ministered one to another. God's word comes and helps us. His song, worshiping God through song, comes and satisfies our souls as we think upon and glory in His grace. And so, as we pray to hear His word this morning, it's not doesn't escape me that some of you had a really tough week and are dealing with some hard things. But God is able, and cast your anxieties upon Him because He cares for you. Let's pray and ask God's help as we prepare to hear from His word. God in heaven, please now come. I know my brothers and sisters, Father, they're real people with real challenges and real families and real heartache and difficulties with their body and whatever it might be. I just pray, Father, that You might come and minister to us. Remind us that we are loved by You. And God, that love is principally and most excellently displayed in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus our Lord. That God, our biggest problem, that we are broken and sinful before You, You have come to fix and to heal and to save. And so let that shape our thoughts. And as we press into another maybe hard week, may it remind us that You have been oh so forgiving and kind to us, and that we can, God, know that we are loved by You. And so now, open up our eyes and our ears to see and hear Your great message. In Jesus' name, amen. I remember my first real job. I say real job meaning that it was a position that I didn't have a family member who was supervising me. You know, I did work for my mom and dad, and that was real work. And when I was 14 and 15 years old, I spent a couple summers working on my uncle's hay farm. Up in kind of northeastern South Dakota, and of course that was plenty of work, but I did that with my cousins, and it was a lot of fun. But when I was a junior in high school, around 16, 17 years old, I took an after-school kind of weekend job at Empire Car Wash in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I was a vacuumer, and so when, you know, so imagine in your mind, you know, a customer would roll in with her vehicle, and she'd order the package that she'd want, And after that, we vacuumers would spring into action, and we'd start the whole process. It was a good job. It was an outside job. And so in January and February, with the South Dakota wind howling, it could get pretty cold. But I liked it, actually, a lot. The people I worked with were decent enough to work with. I had bosses who were sensitive in their scheduling to a busy high school student and athlete and person who did all kinds of things at school, and they paid better than minimum wage. And so I thought, hey, what's not to like? And it didn't take long for me to work to realize that I had an opportunity to witness to others of the Lord Jesus Christ. Most of the people that I worked with and for, really, the things of God were not even on their radar screen. They weren't thinking about the things of God. But I learned that my witness was not just a matter of the things that came out of my mouth or even the moral character that I had, but I also realized how I worked was a witness to these people. Do you know what I mean when I say how I worked? That if I would come to work late and vacuum poorly and lack enthusiasm and talk poorly and subversively about my supervisors, I would be reflecting poorly on the Jesus that I said I follow. But if I showed up to work on time and worked diligently and with enthusiasm and was appropriately submissive, that also would reflect well upon the God I said I praised and worshiped. You see, friends, God has a way of work. When we are born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are changed. We are transformed by the very power that God used to raise Jesus Christ from the dead. We get this transformation of our lives. And then being a changed person, we do everything differently, including work. And so this week and next week, we're going to study how being new creatures in Christ changes how we work. Now this week, we're going to focus on the change that God makes for those of us who are under the authority of other people in our places of employment. Next week, we're going to talk about the change God makes in a person's life who exercise authority over others in a working environment. And I know many of us wear at least one of those caps almost every day. And so it's very important that we pay attention to what God has for us. So take your Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible, of course, there are Bibles scattered throughout the sanctuary. And so grab one of those Bibles. And we're going to study God's Word together, starting in verse 22. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 22. The Apostle Paul, writing, says this: "Slaves, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your slaves justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven." Now, if you were not here last week to listen to the message, I would strongly encourage you to do that, especially if you're scratching your head a little bit, wondering how this whole master-slave thing is supposed to fit. Okay? We talked at length last week about a couple of things. Number one, the emotional and the intellectual challenge that the Bible's references to slavery presents to us. And so we just try to deal honestly with that. The second thing we tried to do is we tried to show or see that the master-slave relationship was analogous enough to use it to help us in our employer-employee relationships, that there's enough similarity there to help us in our working environments. And so listen to last week's message if you need to be convinced more thoroughly of those things. Now, Paul very helpfully does three things for us in our passage. So let me just break down what's going to happen. First of all, Paul gives us the basic command. He tells us what those of us under earthly authority are to do, what we are to do. So he first starts with the what. After he does the what, he moves to the how. How are we supposed to do the command that he tells us to do? And then lastly, and maybe most importantly, he tells us why. Here's why you should do what I'm telling you to do. You know, I know some of you find yourselves in a difficult working environment. Maybe a job that you really don't like. Or maybe your body just isn't working like it once worked. It's hard to get going, hard to be motivated to work diligently week after week. So you need that extra motivation, you need that extra pep to keep doing what God is calling you to do. And that's why that why part, the ending, will be probably the most important for us to hear. So he starts with the what, he moves to the how, and then he talks about the why. So if you like structures, that's a really nice, easy structure for us this morning. So let's start with the command, the what. Look at verse 22. It says it rather plainly, right? Obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, or those who have authority over you. So do what they tell you to do. Now, clearly this is not an absolute command, okay? What I mean by that is, if your supervisor would tell you to steal, you obviously couldn't steal. Or if your supervisor told you to lie or to be dishonest, you couldn't follow the direction of your manager. Daniel is a perfect example of a godly man who was under the authority of an earthly master, if you will, but refused to do what he said he was to do because it violated God's commands. And so we can't violate God's commands. But clearly Paul isn't thinking that way. Paul is saying, look, when your supervisor, when your manager, when the person who is an authority over you tells you to do something, you need to go and do it. When I worked on my uncle's farm and he told me what to do, guess what? I did it. So if he wanted me to bail, I'd bail. And if he told me the next day, Brian, I want you to go cut hay, I'd cut hay. If he would come to me and say, hey, put down what you're doing and take this pickup and run it over to that farm, that's what I'd do. Or if he said, hey, go to town and get burgers for everybody, I'd go get burgers for everybody. I did what I was told. Now, as a 15-year-old city slicker working on a hay farm, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. So yeah, following direction was rather easy. But, right, you get this, the more you're in a job, the more you think you know what needs to happen, the more tempted you are to not obey the commands that you're being told. Like, look, I've said this many times here in the last number of weeks, God doesn't waste words. Okay? He's telling us to do this because we're tempted not to. We're tempted not to obey those in authority over us. This job is beneath me. I didn't agree to clean toilets when I took this job. I've been here longer than her. She should have to go do that. There's all kinds of reasons we might use to subvert or to ignore the direction and the commands that we're given. Well, here's one glorious reality about our current situation. One that the slaves in Colossae did not get. They didn't have this experience. If you don't want to obey your earthly supervisor, you can go get a new job, right? We can do that. You can become self-employed. You can be an entrepreneur. You can go do that, but mark it down, as long as you work for someone, a follower of Jesus will properly submit to the authority of his supervisor, of his manager. Now, let me say, would it be wise for your boss maybe to be open-minded about some things? Would it be smart of her to listen to the employees more? To give maybe fair warning about some changes that are coming with maybe some job descriptions and responsibilities? Yeah, maybe. That might be the case, but that's not the point. For us, those of us who are living under the authority of somebody else, it is our responsibility, by virtue of their authority, to submit and to obey. That's why we do it. We find ourselves under divinely appointed authority, and as followers of Jesus, it's our responsibility to submit and to follow. So that's the what. It's rather clear. And I know we're tempted not to do it sometimes, but we have to remember what God's word says. That's the what. And then he moves into the how. The how. So look at verses 22 and 23. This is where Paul tells how you should obey your earthly supervisors. He says, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Now, did you see in that passage the negative direction and the positive? He first says, this is how you ought not to do it. And then he says, this is how you ought to follow or obey your earthly supervisor. So the first thing he says is, don't obey by way of eye service as people pleasers. I love that description. Do you know why I love that description? Because it perfectly captures what we're tempted to do today. It perfectly. I mean, 2,000 years after Paul wrote this letter to the folks in Colossae, we can identify with this perfectly. Who hasn't, in maybe moments of weariness, or maybe even moments of frustration or even rebellion, you know, shuffled papers, hustled here or there, giving this impression that I'm working hard when in reality I'm not doing all that much. We all have that temptation. We've all been in that situation. And when Paul says, obey, but not in the way of eye service as people pleasers, what he's telling us is that there's a kind of obedience that's not obedience. You know what I mean? Sure, I'll get that project done. It's going to take me a couple of days. though it really only would take me 2 hours. And in the meantime, over these next couple of days, I will cunningly, deceptively, manipulatively look busy, be active, hustle and bustle, but in reality, not be very productive. And God is saying, that is not the way followers of Jesus do their work. Followers of Jesus do not do that. We don't serve that way. We don't work that way. We just don't do that. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. That's not what we do. Instead, this is how you are to obey. Look at verse 23. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Look at the end of verse 22. Instead of working with eye service as people pleasers, we work with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. So capture those words a little bit. Work with a heart invested. Give your best. Be all in. Work how? Well, work as unto the Lord. Imagine He is the one you're working for, and then work as if you were working for Him. Make your supervisor glad she hired you because of your hearty work ethic. And so if you're on the line, hey, work there with diligence and focus. If you answer phones, answer with enthusiasm and friendliness. If you punch numbers all day, hey, do so with a commitment to getting it right. If you're working with kids in the schools, hey, as best as you can, work like they're your own. That's how you should do your work, heartily, with sincerity. Now, when I hear that, I don't know about you, I think, man, that's a tall order. That is a tall order, working at a job with all my heart. You know, I know that some of you might not have the warmest feelings towards your supervisor or your boss. She might be insensitive or mean-spirited. Maybe she doesn't really invest much effort in knowing you at all and your concerns about your family or about your needs. It's hard to work for someone like that with all your heart. I know some of you work in jobs that where you have little to no passion about what you're doing. You don't have a passion for pizza or cheese, making windows, or making plastic products. That's just not where your heart is. You hate answering the phone, and you got to be on it all day. So how can I work heartily, day after day, week after week, maybe even year after year, with a sincerity of heart? I know others of you, you work with people, coworkers, that are can make life rather miserable. It's like worse than junior high, maybe, you're thinking. It's hard. You're harassed, maybe you feel, and you just hate going to work. Or maybe you're just tired. You've been working 30 years, maybe 40 years, and you're just tired. You know, your body just needs a break. You just long to be able to stop punching the time card. And so you're struggling. It's not that you don't like what you do, but you're just fatigued. So how do you get out of the morning tomorrow? How do you wake up Monday morning, work heartily in a job environment that's not giving you a lot of motivation to be there? Now, a paycheck is good motivation. We need to be honest about that, okay? So let me just say, we shouldn't dismiss this too quickly. Friends, if you're working for someone, they're paying you to do a job. They're paying you. It might not be as much as you'd like. In fact, it might even be less than what they were paying you 2 years ago. That might be your reality. But they're paying you nonetheless. And it is dishonorable for followers of Jesus to take a paycheck and not work well. Even unbelievers know this, right? This fits into the camp or the category that I like to call even unbelievers know this. They even know that you ought to go work hard for the paycheck you're given. So how much more should blood-bought followers of Jesus go to work and work hard? Absolutely we should. Okay. Now that wasn't the reality of the slaves in Colossae. They didn't have a paycheck like this. They couldn't go to a new master who paid better. But I think it's important for us to be honest about this. It's not right for us to go to work for somebody else who's paying us and then work poorly. And I think you'll even get a catch a hint of this in a few minutes when we talk about the why. What the Apostle Paul does, though, in motivating these slaves in Colossae, and I think it's very applicable for you and I, what he does is he puts the Lord Jesus Christ right at the forefront of their work, and he says, go after him. Pursue him. Serve him. And so let's transition then into that why. We talked about the what, then the how, and now we're talking about the why. Why should you obey earthly supervisors with an invested heart? Okay. I see four reasons in the text as to why we should do this. And so let's look at each one of them, all right? The first one I see is in verse 22, okay? Verse 22. It says that we should work and obey with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord, okay? Here's how you should work with sincerity of heart, and why? Because you fear God. That's why. Because we fear God, let's make sure we work heartily. Now, fearing God is usually a reference to God's righteous judgment against sin. Okay. Praise God, our Lord in heaven is a mercifully kind, gracious God to humble, contrite, repentant sinners. But yet, God in heaven is also a just and punishing God of people who refuse to repent and rebel against his way. Okay? And so when there's a reference to fearing God, it's meant to stir within us that reminder. God judges sin, but he's gracious to those who are humble, so I'm going to humbly follow and obey my God. And so the first reason that Paul gives these slaves to obey their earthly masters, and the first reason that we should be thinking about submitting and to the direction of those earthly supervisors in our lives is because we fear God, and God punishes sin. It's wrong for us to do this. The second motivation is just like it. Look at the second motivation found in verse 25. Look at verse 25. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Who's the wrongdoer here? He's talking to slaves still, right? He's not starting to talk about masters. He's talking about slaves. So he's motivating these people in a submissive posture. He's reminding them, hey, God judges the wrongdoer. Think about that. Two of the four reasons that we have from the Apostle Paul for us to work diligently with an invested heart is that God punishes sin, that God will correct the wrongdoer. And so, employee, don't work with a half-hearted, lazy, deceptive, people-pleasing work ethic. Why? Because God judges us for that sinful posture. And so let that motivate you. Let that sink in. Man, I don't want to be that way. This is sin that God hates. I ought to be serving and working diligently with an invested heart because God punishes those who don't, okay? So those are the first two reasons of the four. Now here is the third reason. We see it in verse 24, the first part of verse 24. He says in verse 23, kind of getting a running start here, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord, not for men. Here's the reason, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. See, by virtue of you being a slave, you would never expect to receive an inheritance from your master. Never. That belonged to the children of the master. All you could expect is just your weekly due or whatever it might be, roof over your head, food to feed your family. You didn't have anything to expect beyond that. That's somewhat of analogous for us. You don't go to work thinking, hey, someday maybe my boss is going to give this all to me. Hey, it's not going to happen. If that's your plan, let me pop your bubble a little bit this morning. Hate to do it. That's not going to happen. Okay, that's reserved for his family. That estate, that investment. The kids get that. What you get is a weekly paycheck for doing your job. But this is what God says, worker, the Lord Jesus himself, has an inheritance waiting for you in the heavens. And there is no earthly inheritance that can compare with that one. Now, Paul's certainly referencing here the glorious inheritance that we all receive by virtue of Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, and the gift of that coming glorious inheritance given to us by God. It's not talking about some earthly reward of money someday now on this earth. No, no. No, this is the crown of glory God will give to every one of his children because of what Christ has done for us. And that's an inheritance that will never fade away. Did you know that, dear Christian? Did you know that's waiting for you? Did you know, my brothers and sisters, that the more faithfully, now listen to this, the more faithfully you endure hardship at work in the name of Jesus, the more praise and glory and reward you receive in the day to come. Did you get that? The more you right now faithfully endure hardship in the name of Jesus, wherever you might be, school, community, mission field, work, wherever it might be, the more you faithfully endure hardship in the name of Jesus, serving him in faith, the more you have to look forward to in the day to come. So work hard, First Baptist, knowing that. Do you see that verse 24 there? Knowing. Do you know it? And know it in such a way that you remind yourself of it when you go to work. I'm ultimately not working for something today, for this week, for this month. Yes, I need the paycheck to pay the bills and all that stuff, but I'm not ultimately waiting and working for that. I'm working, I am waiting, I am patiently enduring for that inheritance that's coming to me from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's waiting for me. And the more you work faithfully unto the Lord at work, the more eagerly you will anticipate the inheritance that he has for you. And so go, serve well, knowing that you have a reward waiting for you in heaven. That's the third reason. Here's the fourth one. It's also found in verse 24. Look at verse 24 again. He says, as you do this, you are serving the Lord Christ. So get this. There is something deeper happening when you faithfully obey your earthly supervisor. Yes, you're helping them with the company goals. Yes, you're helping the company become successful. Yes, you're participating in the activity that achieves the success that they're hoping. Yes, that stuff's happening, but something deeper is happening. Something deeper is happening. You are actually serving a deeper interest. You're serving a better master. When you work for your earthly supervisor, as unto the Lord, you are actually serving the Lord Jesus Christ. You are actually promoting his interests. You are actually serving his kingdom. You're supporting his bottom line, the glory of his heavenly Father, the very God that saved you. Now, for a person who's been made new by God, who's been born again, who's been saved of their sins, who's been given the promise of that coming inheritance, what more could we ask for? Isn't that our life? Isn't my life now as a follower of Jesus all about bringing praise and glory and honor to that God? That's what my life is about now. And here's the glory of this new creation, that it even impacts the way you work, that when you go to your job, as much as you love it, or as much as you despise it, if you go there serving as unto the Lord, you are actually serving the Lord Jesus Christ. When you're on the line, you're actually serving the Lord Jesus Christ. When you're doing your best to teach those kids, you're actually serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever you are doing, you are actually serving Jesus. That motivates me, that when I get up in the morning and I go to work to a job that either I love or I hate or somewhere in between, that I'm actually doing it for him. I'm actually serving Jesus. And I'm praying, those of you who have been made new, you are alive in Christ, that that changes the way you wake up and you go to work tomorrow morning. It's meant to. Again, this is the reason. This is why we do what we do. We're serving the Lord Jesus. Now, this requires something of you. It requires you to believe that there are unseen realities that are better than the ones you can see. And that they're coming. Now, that can be hard sometimes, right? It can be really hard. When so-and-so gets the pat on the back for the work maybe that you did, or even maybe worse, they get promoted or get more income, and you don't, that can sting a little bit. Or when someone lies and cheats or steals, but they don't get punished for it. In fact, maybe they even get rewarded. That can be pretty discouraging. It can take a lot of air out of the sail. It can make going to work really difficult. And the only way you can keep going is if you believe, if you know that what's unseen is better than what's seen. And that what's unseen is promised from God for you. Now, I know that's hard to believe sometimes. Right? We're human people, and we like to believe the things that we see with our eyes. Yet I also hope that at another level, it's really easy to believe, because this is what our faith's all about. It's believing that there's some unseen realities out there, promises of God that he's made to us, and he's proven that he'll honor his word by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And because of that, I can believe that I will receive a coming inheritance as my reward. Do not look to the things that are seen, First Baptist. Look to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient. They're temporary. They're fleeting. But the things that are unseen are eternal. I hope and pray that that motivates you tomorrow when you go to work. Why don't you stand with me as we close in prayer? Of course, we're happy to pray with you for whatever you might need help with. And so Pastor Tim is in the Awana room, and I'll be here in the sanctuary ready to pray for you if you'd like. So let's close our time. Father in heaven, thank you for this word. I pray it'd motivate us to serve well at our places of employment, keeping in mind the great reward of knowing you and worshiping you. Bless your people as they go. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.